especially when people go to university these days, it's so expensive. And I think there's a lot of advice, at least there was advice that was floating around when I was at high school. I do think people have wised up to it a bit more now, but there was a lot of advice floating around when I was in high school saying just study something you enjoy and a job will turn up and some company will come and say, who are your smart students and we want to employ them. And that is just absolutely 110% not how it went. I wish. And I think there are a lot of, I studied with many people who then found there was absolutely no job for them at the end of it and either ended up in a job, something totally unrelated that they didn't even need a degree for, or they managed to make it kind of work. And I, you know, as I've mentioned, I managed to then just tack another year of study on and end up somewhere where I wanted to. But I studied for twice as long as I needed to for the job I ended up in. And it's expensive. It's tens of thousands of dollars. So as someone who has been in that employer level, I mean, I don't know how much hands-on employing you were doing as CEO of KiwiWealth, but you were, you know, in that upper level of management. Are university degrees still important, you know, or is it, do we put too much emphasis on them still? Do we need to be more focused on them? This is obviously going to be very personal opinion.
This is very personal. This has really gone wide. I think university degrees are good for is that kind of constant education about how you take on information in the world and how you analyze it and what you do with it. So, you know, I'm very pro education and therefore I suppose pro tertiary education and university education. I think the subject that you learn is probably not as important. And then, you know, I was listening to Dawn Freshwater the other day, who's the chancellor at vice chancellor at the University of Auckland. You know, what you do with AI now, I think it's so, I was going to say frightening, but I don't want to be negative about AI. But like, how do you think about
AI does freak me out. I think you should be cautious.
Yeah, it does freak you out, right? But what information do you know? But I think even more so, you need to then have a mind that is educated. So like, how do you ask good questions and how do you analyze the answers? And therefore, how do you perceive? If you can get all the information at your fingertips, what do you do with it when you have it? And that, I think, is what education's around. And that's, I think, part of the reason why my history degree actually has served me really well in my finance career. Because I sort of, you know, learned how to take information and lots of it and read like streams of like books and information. I really didn't read a book for about 20 years after I left university because I was just, yeah, I'd read, in my opinion, far too many, which shows a very poor attitude. But, you know, you read so much and then you learn how to analyze it and present arguments, you know, and I used to learn how to present arguments on both sides. So, yeah, I could make an argument pro or against anything, really. And I think that's a really useful skill. Obviously, you've got to know what you really think at the end, but being able to see things from both sides and take facts and move them around, I think, is a skill that is always useful.
I love that.
But for me, if you ask, you know, if I would got to hire people out of university, and I didn't at that CEO level, but because of my background, you know, I think, you know, those finance and commerce degrees are amazing. And I think, you know, it's really great for the New Zealand economy to come out with that. But a lot of these skills also, I'm still up for the philosophy and the arts and the history and the English as well.
I know. I did a couple of, even anthropology, I really enjoyed my anthropology papers, but I did a couple of philosophy ones as well. And there's still some things that I think about there. So I regret the money spent. I don't necessarily regret the path I ended up on, but it's so expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive. I was lucky. I was the last person last year to go through with no university fees in the UK. So that one shows my age.
Looking great. How's the eye cream? I'll need some recommendations after this. As you started climbing the career ladder, and obviously you did end up hitting CEO, was that a goal you consciously wanted? And at what stage did you think, I might be able to be the leader of a pretty big company?
It was very late stage that I thought I could do that. I would say less than 6 months before I sort of got that role did I think to myself possibly that I could even dream of it. I had a few people around me, but in the previous year going, you could be CEO. And I'm like, no, I couldn't. And it took me till around only a few months before the opportunity came up that I thought, you know what, I would like to do that. And yeah, you know, and therefore that led, you know, led me to have the courage and audacity to put my hand up and say, yes, I would like to do it. Earlier on in the career, I think around the time that I had my first kid or something around then, I was working at New Zealand Post, and the CEO there was Brian Roach at the time. And I remember that I found out that he started his career in audit. For some reason, that really blew my mind. Like, he just wasn't an auditor anymore. Like, he was the CEO of this huge company, had come through consulting and done all sorts of things. And that was the moment that I thought, like, one, where you start doesn't have to be where you end up. And it was also the moment that I thought, I don't know what I really want to do, but now my next career goal is that, and I'm not there yet, is that when people find out what I do, they're going to be surprised I started in finance. And I wanted to go more general, and I wanted to lead and manage, and I just kind of wanted to go a bit more lateral and see where that took me. But I've sort of, you know, with finance, it's an interesting one. You see a lot of people in finance who stay in finance for an awfully long time. And I feel like there are some people I know in those senior levels who are kind of a bit fed up with it. And I don't think you go into any of these careers to be bored, you know, to kind of churn out and do the same thing over and over again. So that was something that I kind of quite deliberately wanted to avoid. I wanted to try new things and see where they led.
Yeah, tell me more about that, because I think the examples we can see around us are huge, even from just the small number of examples you've pulled out already. You're obviously getting a lot of men to look up to. It's quite a male-dominated field. But you're still getting people you can look up to and see some examples of what you do want and what you don't want, which is really interesting to me. As you were looking around, tell me more about that. Some of the things you saw that you thought, that looks great. I think I could do that. And I see some of myself in that person, even if they don't look exactly like me. And tell me more about when you saw some things that you're like, don't want that.
Well, that's really interesting. You know, I think as you know, that kind of that moment where you say I could step up to be CEO, I actually think, believe it or not, COVID was really helpful for me in that you know, the way that we changed, you know, our work patterns and we started working from home more. I know that's a kind of a big subject in itself, but the fact that you could juggle and you didn't have to be in the office 9 to 5 or 8 to 7, and you could take your laptop home and work more hours at home, and you could probably race, and, you know, the whole kind of culture and flexibility about going to watch your kids at athletics or whatever just changed, I think, quite a lot when people realized that you really could log on from home and be productive. And I think that actually did influence, because it was 2020 that I thought, oh, I could potentially be CEO, and towards the end of it. So we'd been through that 6 months of working from home. And I really don't think that I could have gone and been CE if we had to do that kind of classic work style that we'd seen for, you know, a century beforehand, you know, since the industrialized times. So that has really changed. And so I was really conscious when I was CE as well to try and model a style of leadership that I, you know, thought was one good for me, but also good to bring other people in on the journey. So, you know, I did consciously model some of the chaos from the next lockdown. You know, I had kids in the background, embarrassing me quite a lot. And I really wanted to, but the really embarrassing moments I didn't actually want to happen, but they did. But they really helped other people realize that they could show a bit of themselves as well. And I think that was really important. And I did want to make sure that you could show that you could be a sort of an active parent and do a big job as well. And I think that is something that we're shifting a little bit with these changes in working style, which I think are exciting. And it invites more people in and it brings more people in. And I think it just sort of widens the talent pool, which I think is a really positive thing.
And it is interesting. I want to point out before we get into this topic that I not only would do, but have done, ask men this question as well, because I think it's really important that mums aren't the only parents. But there is also this reality that there's a huge pressure on mums to, most people do have to go to work or want to go to work, whether or not you have to. A lot of people enjoy working and find huge meaning in it. And yet also to be present for your kids, to be part of their lives. I saw a stat the other day that, and this is a proper stat, this is not something I'm just making up, that staying at home mums from the 70s spent as much time with their kids as working mums now, which absolutely speaks to the pressure we put on ourselves, right? That it really was this culture then of you would block the kids out of the house and say, go and play in the street with the other street children.
Which has got actually really positive elements to it. I'm quite pro them going out. I love the fact my kids now kind of wander up and down the street and find their friends who live nearby. That brings me joy.
I know. I love it. I love being part of this. Is one of the reasons I live in a smaller community these days, that you can actually get to know the people around you. And it's not like kicking your children out to the wolves. It's, you know, everyone knows them. Mine is still too young for that, but I have hope for the future. You know, whereas there's this huge pressure now on working parents of both genders that there is that pressure to be there, to be really present, to be intensively parenting all the time. And I think a lot of us want to have that close relationship with our children too, but combining that with work, hard. So how did you find that in terms of that chief executive role and being a present parent? How much can you have both?
It's hard, you know, Frances. I think it's really, really hard. I did this chief executive role for 2 years and I loved it. And I loved the work and I loved what we did and all the rest of it. But there were moments where, you know, I was at home. In the final year, I think my husband would go to work at 7 a.m. and I would drop the kids and go to work at 9, and then he would pick them up at 3 and I'd come home at 5 or 6. And then we'd both sort of kind of sit on our laptops on the sofas in the evening and sort of catch up and do that sort of thing, which sounds a bit sad, but it wasn't as sad as it sounds.
Yeah, you're describing my life currently.
We also go out, we're quite social, so we'd kind of, that would draw us out, you know, sort of less tragic and so forth. It is hard. I think there were moments where, you know, when the kids, I think when they need more time from you, you know, it's all very well when it's all going swimmingly, but when one of them gets sick or one of them gets anxious about something or they're not getting along with something at school, that becomes really hard. And I did actually feel there was a stage where I almost felt like I was telling the kids, like, you know, come and see me between 6:30 and 7 when I'm free. But until then, can you kind of, you know, can you keep your problems to yourself? So I think it is a hard, hard thing to juggle. I think having two working parents and a busy family life is really hard. And I watch my friends do it and it's a lot. I think it's a lot for people to do, especially as you say, people give a lot more hours to their children and they don't chuck them on the street as much as they used to. It is part of the reason I've gone down this path, right? I'm working, you know, with the CEO 101 and with Casterbury and so forth. And I felt that I wanted to sort of work more 9 to 3 for a period of my time. But again, you know, looking at all those incredible working trends, I think you can do that these days in a way that, you know, I don't think you could have done 10 years ago to be working. You know, I sort of move around and I work from home and I still feel like I can have a really interesting career, but on those terms as well. So I gave a lot of thought when I left Kiwi Wealth as to, you know, what are those trends that I see? You know, I suppose I'm used to analysing trends. How can I apply them to my life to kind of create the balance that I want to see and the kind of spending time with the kids and doing interesting work?